Log Talk Radio.
Oh!
Must be drinking that wild turkey. Good evening. Welcome to whatever it is you happen to be. I'm Dale Kay from Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio, and Spook Show, here along with...
And I'm... My name is... I know it as well. I just know my own name. Oh, yeah, it's Dave Bigley from Weird, It's a Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
I can only remember that I'm a friend of some guy named Dave.
Yep. I don't know what kind of there show we're going to have. We've forgotten everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Everything.
No, I didn't even log on. What am I doing? Why am I in the kitchen? Why am
you
I
forgot
in the kitchen
how?
I drink.
You forgot how. He forgot his password. Fogsbane didn't forget
us. I forgot.
He's here.
I forgot why I'm in the kitchen. But...
Hi, hi.
Hello, Fogsbane. Blabla to you, wherever you are.
He's here. You just can't see him yet.
I can't see anything. I need to get in front of a computer.
Yep. Oh, wait, I suddenly remembered. We're here to play some radio. Later on, we got Let George Do It, The Green Hornet, and Theater 5.
You say so.
And maybe some bonus stuff, too.
I can't log in on this computer. Oh. Okay. It won't let me.
That's okay.
I just
we know
remember.
You're here, though. We know
yeah,
you're here, though.
I'm going to the other.
Mr. What's-His-Name?
Go to the other computer.
So,
yeah, I am now known as Mr. What's-His-Name. It was old and green.
I'll never forget good old What's-His-Name.
Whatever his name was. That's right.
That's right.
just to put it on the radar if no one's looking, the first episode of season 3 for Star Trek Picard dropped recently. Love it. I'm a Star Trek guy. Love it. I've forgotten what episodes I've seen, but,
It's TOS, Star Trek TOS for your queen, Denise, and myself.
Yes.
The original. I can't relate to the other series. I've given them all a try. One time or another, and it's like, I could see younger audiences liking this, but I can't.
It's a problem. It's a problem I have with Batman. I am a 1966 Adam West live action Batman fan, but what the Batman is now is so far removed. But I have to take each slice as it comes and enjoy it as it is. I guess.
I grew up with the Batman the 66 one, but you know what? My favorite Batman would be the animated series. I love that. Absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
That yet, and everybody I talk to, Dave, you are not the only one, and you too, Gar, that have told me how good it is. I have to check it out at some point because I hear nothing but good stuff about it.
It's the first animated cartoon or sequential art, whatever you want to call it, works – not from white forward, but work from a black canvas up. Just amazing. They start with a black background and they work up, not from a white-black background and add to it. You know what I'm saying? So there's the negative space is just amazing in this because it's already there. Okay, I was an artist. I apologize. I'll be an artist later, I'm sure.
Yep.
You got your own Batmobile that I can drive. Do what?
Do you guys find, as you get older, are you becoming more forgetful?
I've always been bad at names, but I have worse at names than I used to be. Absolutely, and that's I think it's a big problem for me, Jim. You know, that's just a real big problem for me.
I know, Steve.
Wow. Since we're talking to Ed Asner,
For me, it's mental blocks with words sometimes. Not often, but I never used to have those kind of mental blocks for certain words at certain times.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Garth.
In college, I made the dean's list. And when I was in high school, I took journalism and a lot of in English stuff. I used to walk around with a pocket thesaurus in one pocket and a pocket dictionary in the other. Words were, I loved them. And now I, as you said, Dale, I have problems grabbing my vocabulary at some point in time. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it is, because you know what it is. You know it's buried in there, and you're trying to pull it up to the surface. Yeah.
Yes.
And my problem is, you know, you always have so much at the tip of your tongue. Now the tip of my tongue is about as long as Pinocchio's nose. It keeps building.
In some places, you'd be very popular. Anyway.
I'm not going to go. That was what I thought. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Lady. Oh, lady.
Hello. Oh, lady. It was all a
bedroom. And that's what's beautiful about movies that we've hosted and these radio shows helps us not forget the stories themselves or the actors and other talented people that put these types of shows together, but the culture of the day, you know what I mean? The language, the words that people use, the clothes they wore, the vehicles they drove, things like that, I think. I don't think you want to lose sight of that either. And these old time radio shows and old movies and old television help you keep that feel for what that was.
Fin cars for me. I love them. You won't find them anymore.
Yeah.
The big Fin cars.
Yeah. Oh, I love those from the 50s and the 60s.
The Fin cars. Yeah. The Fin car, late 50s, early 60s. The Fin cars, and then they were also named the muscle cars. But
yes,
yeah,
those came later, like late 60s, early 70s. Before they got the unleaded gas going on, they were some really serious muscle cars in the 60s. Became real popular.
Well, the Fin cars had insane engines in them, so they could have been grouped in there with some of the ladder muscle cars.
I don't think too many from the factory had big engines. They might have been for the day, but most of them that I see. Because I follow antique cars around sometimes because I, too, love them. And, you know, not just the 57 Chevy Bel Air, which has great fins, but there's some others. Some of the late 50s Caddies had some wonderful fins on them. Even the hearses that I treasure. But and then there were interesting shapes on the back of cars. There's one, I think it's a 63 Chevy of some kind. And they're not exactly fins, but it has this unique back where
it's flat.
Yeah, it meets in the middle center bumper and like bows out.
Someone said it looks like the underdog character Riff Raff.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
isn't that crazy?
You know what I'm talking about.
You know, and for me, a muscle car today is one that I can open with one hand.
There you go.
Say again. What?
I can do it with one hand instead of two. That's a muscle car, yeah.
Now, the 50s cars were easily made into muscle cars, though. You could upgrade them and, you know, get a bigger carb and bore them out because they were made out of real metal. If you had a shop, you could do it all yourself.
The engine well on these vehicles was insane. It was beautiful. You could climb in there and have a lunch while you're, you know.
Your family in them.
And sometimes you did.
And sometimes you did.
But you can upgrade your cars today. I mean, just last week I ordered I added another 4 gig of memory. So, you know, look at that.
Yeah, there you go. I think that
Where's the banger?
Oh, yeah, there you go. You've been blind. Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
But, yes, the memory thing. I was saying this before we got on air, that the best thing about memory loss is you don't remember what you can't remember. But, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know what you've lost because why you can't remember whatever it was.
Yep.
I was having a discussion. I know. Last Sunday, talking of memory loss, I know there's a whole lot of radio. I met some friends at a restaurant, and I was talking, and all of a sudden, I just froze, and I was like, my mind went blank. Just, oops, nothing. And I said, I have no idea what I was talking about. And they started to list off nouns, and it was like, oh, that was it. Okay, there we go. And I got back on track. That's weird.
So all you need is a noun to get you going, huh?
Yeah, that and a quarter in my ear.
Yep.
Lest we forgot, we got a whole lot of radio. Where shall we begin?
Hey, we were talking about Batman. Why don't we start with the Green Hornet?
I was kind of thinking along similar lines. That would be a nice segue, a story called The Man Who Forgot.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Let's see. Yeah.
Did you forget where you put your moral guard?
No, I had to go in the other room. I had to go in the other room to...
We forgot the original broadcast date. Can you believe it?
I can help with that. July 22nd, 1947.
AD.
I agree.
For a breakfast cereal that gives you real nourishment, get Cheerios. It's made from good, old-fashioned, nourishing oats, all ready to eat. And now, Cheerios presents The Green Hornet.
Somebody's getting buzzed.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
With his faithful bullet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure of The Man Who Forgot. Listen. Yes, listen for the magic wire. Listen today, sure, for this is a last call. Today is the last day to hear about Cheerios' great contest on this program. Your last chance to win a marvelous new home recording machine. And now, the Green Hornet strikes again. Duke Finley was nearly broke when he was released from prison on parole. He had his evening clothes and his suave manner, but little else except two men who had operated under his leadership in the lush days of 10 years ago.
Less than $50. Not even the price of a new wardrobe, to say nothing of a couple of cars.
Look, Duke, if you don't like my car...
No offense, Maxie. Your car's all right. But I'm thinking of the days when I owned half a dozen cars.
Gosh, Duke, those were sure the days.
When I think of that fathead lawyer that let me get a rap in state's prison just because he was too dumb to fix a couple of jurymen,
you're out now, anyhow. We fixed the parole for you.
Is that car still following us?
Not anymore.
They're not following us through the park. But you can bet your bottom dollar there'll be a shadow when we get back to the apartment.
We can't get out of the park without being spotted. The heat's on here, Duke. There's a character known as the Green Hornet. It's got the cops all stirred up.
The Green Hornet?
You heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him. And he's a tin horn compared to what we used to be.
Call him what you want, Duke, but he's plenty smart.
Hey, Max, look out. Watch him, Max.
Oh, that's fathead. Hey, you, why don't you look where you're going?
You'd have hit that guy if he didn't have good brakes.
Look at him.
He walked right in front of the car. He's lucky he didn't get killed.
Let me out.
I'll go with you, Duke. The guy acts balmy. Now, look at him. He's just standing in front of the headlight staring at us.
What's the matter with you, mister?
That guy's nuts.
Hey, you trying to commit suicide or something? Couldn't you see our headlights?
Come on, you, speak up. We didn't touch you. What's the racket?
I don't know.
What's your name?
I don't know that.
Hey, is he drugged?
Where do you live?
I can't remember.
He's not. Shut up, Steve.
Kenny. Can't remember a thing.
Did you get slugged or something?
Nothing. Nothing in my pockets.
Hey, Chief, I want to talk to you. Come over here. What's up, Steve? I know that guy. His picture's been on the front page of the Sentinel since he disappeared from home a couple of days ago. Yeah? Who is he? His name's Grant Wheeler. He's worth a pile of dough. What good does that do us? Don't you get it, Duke? There's something wrong with him. Nothing in his pockets. Look at those clothes. He must have gotten doped or something. Someone rolled him for all he had and switched clothes with him. I still don't get it, Steve. You're slipping, Duke. His wife would pay a nice hunk of change to get him back. All we gotta do is find a place to keep him hid for a while. I get it. Not bad, Steve. Not bad. You got any ideas about how we can hide him? My apartment's being watched. I know. Wait. Maybe I have got an idea. Steve, I'll take this car out of the park alone. You and Max stay here with the guy. Tell him his name is John Murphy. You get that, John Murphy? And then here's what you and Max have got to do.
Read about the Wheeler mystery. Here you are, lady. Police discount kidnap theory. Here you are, sir. Central X-Tree Pepper.
Sergeant Burke speaking. Huh? No, you got the wrong line.
I thought that might be my paper, Colin.
Well, it wasn't your paper, expert. Now, what were you saying about the Wheeler disappearance?
I know something about Wheeler that the cops don't know.
Yeah?
I got this straight from Britt Reed.
What does Reed know about Wheeler?
He knows plenty on account of he's been dating Sandra Wheeler once in a while. She told him in confidence about her old gent.
Yeah?
He gets spells when he can't remember nothing. Not even his name.
Why in blazes didn't Mrs. Wheeler tell us that? That changes everything. The chances are he's wandering around somewheres and wondering who he is.
Now, hold on, Burke. I told you that in confidence. And you can't say a thing about it unless you get it straight from Mrs. Wheeler or her daughter.
Oh, Sandra. Sandra, I don't know how long I can stand this suspense.
Mother, don't you think it would be better to tell the police about Father's amnesia?
Oh, no, dear. He doesn't want people to know about it.
But something serious must have happened. I think the police should know everything. Let me call Britt Reed and ask his advice. He's been so cooperative.
Sandra, I forbid it.
But Britt has had Dad's picture on the front page of the Sentinel. If anyone saw Dad, surely they'd recognize him.
Telephone.
I'll answer it. Hello?
I want to speak to the wife or daughter of Grant Wheeler.
Who is it, Sandra?
Quiet, please, Mother. This is Sandra Wheeler speaking.
Then call off the cops.
Who is this? Who are you?
Never mind who I am. Tell the police to stop looking for your father. Tell them you've located him. Then we'll let you know how to get him back.
You kidnapped him.
Sandra, let me take the phone. Hello. Hello, this is Mrs. Wheeler.
I gave your daughter a message. Tell the police you've located your husband and that there's no need to continue the search.
Oh.
Then get $20,000 ready.
$20,000?
Mention this to the cops and you'll never see your husband alive.
Hello. Hello, oh, listen to me, please. Hello. Oh, Mother. Oh. He's hung up. Oh. Sandra, Father's been abducted. He's been kidnapped. We must pay $20,000. And if we say anything to the police, they'll kill him.
Lenore Chase, Britt Reed's secretary, sometimes found it easier to type the information Michael Axford brought from police headquarters and to argue with the former policeman.
Well, there you are, Michael. I'll read that over, and if you don't like it, you can type it yourself.
Oh, now, don't be like that, Casey.
It's a wasted effort, I object to, Michael. You know very well Gunnigan won't use that material.
Now, look here, Casey. You don't have to pass on the news value what I bring in. I only asked you to type that up so as I could turn it into Gunnigan.
Well, there it is.
Mm. Maybe I'd better show it to Reed first.
He's busy, Michael.
Oh, I know he's busy. He's been working night and day trying to get something to show that Findlay bribed some state officials to get his parole.
That's all right. She never minds when I go into his office.
Michael, come back here.
That's all right. Yes. Hey, Reed. Oh, golly, I didn't know you had a lady in your office.
Come in, Axford. This is Miss Wheeler. Sandra, this is Michael Axford.
How do you do?
Miss Sandra Wheeler? Oh, golly, glad I am to meet you, Miss Wheeler.
Thank you.
Reed, I don't want to disturb you, but there's this little item I picked up at cops headquarters about a street fight.
You can turn it over to Gunnigan.
But, Reed, there was something about it. You know, you told me to keep an eye on that Duke Findlay guy to see what he turned to for quick cash.
Now, don't tell me he got involved in a street fight.
Oh, golly, no. But Max Jordan is a friend of his, and he's one of the guys that was in the fight. He got out on paying a fine, but the other guy, John Murphy is his name, is in for 10 days.
Very well, Axford. The city desk.
Okay, Reed. I sure hope the cops find your father, Miss Wheeler.
Oh, father's all right. He telephoned.
Yeah? Say, that's swell. I'm sure glad to hear it. Burke was saying that there wasn't any chance that Findlay had been mixed up in the kidnapping.
Who?
A guy named Duke Findlay, who used to be a big-shot racketeer, just got paroled. But the cops knew he wasn't mixed up in your father's disappearance because they've been watching him real close.
Just how closely has Findlay been watched, Axford?
Well, just about every minute, Reed. The cops even went through his apartment while he was out, figuring he might have been mixed up in the Wheeler disappearance.
Oh.
By the way, Miss Wheeler, did you call the cops and tell them the old gent was safe?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I've taken enough of your time, Britt. I must go along.
I'll take you home, Sandra.
Oh, no, please don't.
But I insist. After all, the Sentinel can run without me. How do you like the new convertible, Sandra?
I like it, Britt. I do wish you'd go straight home.
Just one turn through the park to give you a chance to tell the truth.
Britt, what do you mean? The truth?
About your father.
I told you we'd received a phone call from him. He's all right. He'll soon be home.
Sandra. That story's all right for public consumption. But you're talking to me now. And I've inherited Dad's suspicious nature.
But I...
Young lady, you were too vague about that phone call. You told a fib and you darn well know it.
Oh, Britta.
It's true, isn't it? You fibbed, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What's the truth about your father?
Well, we did have a phone call, Mother and I. We were ordered to tell the police that Father was all right and to get $20,000 ready for ransom.
Now we're getting someplace. By thunder, I wonder if Duke Findlay is involved. 10 years in prison wasn't enough for that crook.
Oh, Britt, please. Please don't do anything. Dad's safety is all that matters to Mother and me. We want him back.
If Findlay gets away with anything like this, he'll try it again. Sandra, I don't believe in meeting kidnappers halfway.
Britt, Reed, if you do anything, I'll hold you responsible for all that happens to my father.
A fine spot for a publisher to be in. A fine spot.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. Last call, last chance. Listen carefully because today is the last time you'll be hearing about Cheerios' big contest on this program.
Remember, if you hurry, you may win a wonderful new home recording machine complete with microphone. A wonderful machine that you can use to record your own voice.
It's terrific. A marvelous home recording machine that makes recordings on wire. It's the amazing new Webster Chicago wire recorder.
You simply talk or sing into the microphone. This great new instrument actually records your voice on a magical piece of stainless steel wire.
And listen, this marvelous new Webster Chicago wire recorder also plays the recording back just the way you made it. For it comes complete with a built-in speaker as well as a microphone.
It's easy as ABC to operate and fun for the whole family. You can record your own voice. You can use it to entertain friends and relatives. You can record your favorite radio programs, baby's voice, birthdays, anniversaries, family events. You can record your own plays, teach yourself to become a radio announcer or singer.
Listen, this amazing machine has an advertised retail price of $149.50. and a slightly higher west of the Rockies. But it may be yours as a prize.
Right now, for the last time on this program, Cheerios is offering 200. Yes, 200 of these wonderful Webster Chicago wire recorders in a great contest.
Enter this big easy contest now. Just finish this easy sentence. I like Cheerios Walt Disney pocket-sized comic books because... Finish that sentence in 10 additional words or less. For complete rules, get the handy entry blank at your grocer's.
There's no need to make a fancy or elaborate entry. And if you want ideas, see the Cheerios package. The back of the Cheerios package tells you all about the swell Walt Disney pocket-sized comic book.
Remember, finish this sentence in 10 additional words or less. I like Walt Disney pocket-sized comic books because...
Enclose your name and address and one box top from Cheerios. That nourishing breakfast cereal that's made from oats, all ready to eat.
Send your finished sentence together with your name and address and one Cheerios box top today. And hurry, this contest is closing soon. Today is the last and final time you'll be hearing about it on this program. Send to Green Hornet, Box 7800, Chicago, Illinois. That's Green Hornet, Box 7800, Box 7800, Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, so, boy, that'd be nice to get a hold of those, huh? Some nice pocket-sized Walt Disney comic books.
$149.
Yeah, I like Walt Disney because, what, 10 words or less? I don't have 10 words or less I can use.
Yeah.
10 words or less, that's four.
That would be four, yeah.
The calculator says that that wireless recorder for $149 equates to about $2,000 in 2023 dollars.
Wow.
$149.50 in 1947 equates to $2,000. So
wow.
That was a heck of a cereal giveaway.
Yes, it was.
It was.
Yes, it was.
I think I'd eat more cereal than I eat now if that was the case.
Yeah.
They did say that the wire was magic. Only in Marvel Comics is wire magic. I'm sorry, that doesn't really work out. But
wire is magical.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said it's magic. The wire, it's magic. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's magic?
Absolutely. Hey, in 1947, any kind of technology is magical.
That's right.
I've been watching a science fiction program on television series, and in it, when someone says magic, they immediately reply, magic is just science we don't understand yet.
And that could be true. That could be
true. Wow. I won't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very well could be.
Magic today becomes
the
science of tomorrow. Yeah.
All the superstitions, all the things that we've got going on, much of it is science we didn't understand. Lightning, they attach the God to it. Thunder, they attach the God to it. It's science. Hello.
Yep.
Condensation, electricity, it's science, but yeah.
No.
I didn't get that issue yet.
You didn't?
No.
There's one where it explains that Thor, the thunder god, does bleed. And it's like, what?
I wonder what color. It's a blue blood. I don't know.
Isn't that weird? It's our blood is blue in our veins, supposedly, and then red when it comes out.
Oxygen
air.
Turns it red, from what I understand, or the air anyway.
Right. But in saying that, we're all blue bloods, which means we're all royal.
Some of us are
royal.
Okay,
well, I know some people that aren't, so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel
I paid money.
Legal.
You guys are supposed I paid money. You guys are supposed to call me Lord Garth Thaddeus Gernstein or something like that.
Nothing.
Paid money for that. Yeah, well, yeah. I tried.
Yeah.
I can actually have that legally installed on my tombstone where it says Lord Garth Thaddeus Gernstein.
Don't you just have to identify with royalty now and you become it, like, magically or something? Magically.
Magic? You got me on that one. I don't know.
I don't know.
If so, me and the Queen of England had a date in 1948. It was great.
Yep.
So now I'm royal. Can I play the bagpipes? Bob Vane, you give me bagpipes, I'll try, okay?
I think you'd look mighty cute in a kilt.
In a kilt? Sure. Well, yes. Long as it covers my knees, I'm okay.
No peeking.
And other things, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do your bagpipes droop? Do they really? No, I guess that doesn't work. Anyway.
Yeah. You might as well get a collie. We'll start a fad here. We'll bring the last fad back.
Well, you know. Red and black or blue and black? I don't know which way to go on the colors, but
they come in all colors.
The collie?
Collies, but kilts,
there might be a restriction. And it might be a restriction to family name and heraldry as far as what you're supposed to be watching. You know,
and what you're supposed
coat
to be wearing,
arms
too,
and all
I think.
That.
Yeah, I think what you wear, there's a certain, they call that, your tartan or something like that? I don't know.
Yes.
I'm undereducated on my Scotch history.
On your Scotch?
Yes.
Don't drink too much Scotch.
Lest we forget.
A lot of radio.
Lest we forget. Somebody's got to do some remembering around here, and I remembered we got to finish the Green Hornet. The man who forgot will be back after this.
We forgot.
I forget.
Now to continue our story. Britt Reed and Michael Axford were finishing dinner in the young publisher's fashionable apartment. Axford pushed back his plate and opened the latest edition of the Daily Sentinel.
Have you had enough, Axford?
Yep. You can clear away things if you want to, Cato.
Yes, Mr. Axford.
Axford, you see the article about the return of Grant Wheeler? It was cut down considerably.
Suffering snakes, Reed. Gunnigan blue penciled over half of it. You left out what I said about Max Jordan being a pal of Duke Findlay. And likewise, he left out what I said about how this other lug looked.
John Murphy?
Yeah. I had a pretty complete description of the guy, telling how his face was a mess of bruises that showed through 2 days' beard, and how he acted like a dope. Human interest stuff, you know.
You can't say things like that about a man, Axford.
I wouldn't have been liable if it was the truth, Reed, and it was the truth. Murphy didn't know from nothing, not even what started the fight.
Was he badly beaten up?
Well, it wasn't bad enough to put him in the prison hospital, but it was pretty bad.
Axford, why don't you go after the human interest story with both feet?
Huh? What do you mean?
I'll spend a little money. Find out how much it'll cost to get John Murphy out of jail. Pay his fine. Take him to a hotel room or someplace. Get acquainted with the man.
Reed, you mean that on an expense account?
Sure, go ahead. The Sentinel can stand it.
By God, Reed, I'll do it. And I better be going. I'd have to pull a few strings to get Murphy out of the hoosgow tonight.
Where'll you take him?
I don't know. The hotels are sort of jammed up. Say, Reed, it wouldn't do to bring him here, would it?
Well, hardly, Axford. But you might take him to my beach cottage on the lakeshore.
That'll do it, Reed. That'll be swell. I'd get him there and talk to him till I find out all about him. Well, I'll be seeing you. If you want me for anything, you know where to find me.
A beach cottage, huh?
If I'm not there, it'll be at cops headquarters. Good night to you, Cato.
Well, good night, Mr. Axford. Mr. Britt, why you make suggestion about cottage?
Cato, I've been putting two and two together, and the answer's four. I have a hunch, and I'm going to play it. Axford gave a pretty complete description of the man who's in jail.
Well, you mean John Murphy?
Yes. It might be Grant Wheeler. It's significant that one of Findlay's pals was involved in that fight. Let me have the telephone.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, why is police not recognize Wheeler?
He's wearing cheap clothes. He's without his distinctive glasses, and he has a stubble of beard. And furthermore, Cato, as far as the police know, Wheeler is no longer missing.
Is that true?
I'm calling Mrs. Wheeler. I want to find out if she's had any further word about the ransom. Hello? Hello, Sandra. Britt Reed calling. Have you or your mother had any further word? No, you haven't, huh? Well, of course you're worried. Oh, your mother knows that you told me. I'm glad of that. Well, Sandra, I'm coming over there. I'll be there in a little while. Bye.
What are our plans, Mr. Britt?
OK, Cato, first of all, we're going to the beach house and see who Axford brings.
We go as Green Hornet?
Yes. Get the mask and weapon. If my suspicions are right, it's going to be a lively evening. You're going to have a lot to do.
Michael Axford experienced little difficulty in effecting the release of a man who was called John Murphy. He took him to Britt Reed's Lakeshore Cottage after picking up a key at the character's home. He had been there but a few moments when the black car of the Green Hornet stopped in the darkness.
There they are, Cato. You can see through the window.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
I was right. That is Grant Wheeler. But look at him, Cato. It's no wonder the police didn't recognize him.
Well, now what we do?
Now that we know Wheeler is safe, we'll go ahead with the rest of my plan.
You tell Miss Wheeler you call on her tonight.
And so I shall. But first I've got to call on Axford.
As Green Hornet?
He won't hear my voice. Come on. Let's go.
I don't know how it happened, but there was a fight. I wasn't fighting, but somehow I was involved. Then the police came. That's all I know.
Go ahead, Murphy.
Well, I was...
Hey, Murphy, what's the matter? What are you...
The door behind you. A masked man.
Masked, you say? Holy crow, the Green Harlot.
What's the matter? What happened? That gun... What did he do?
You too.
That does it. Come in, Cato. They're both out cold. Keep an eye on them while I use the telephone.
You give them only a little gas.
Yes, just enough to hold them for a few minutes. I'm going to call the police and tell them to get out here right away. I think Axford will carry on from that point. I'm also going to call Mrs. Wheeler.
Well, you mean call on Mrs. Wheeler?
I'm going to call on her as Britt Reed. But first, I'm going to call her as the Green Hornet.
Hey, Joe, get Flanagan and come over here quick.
Well, that's the trouble, Sergeant Quirk.
Joe, that guy we picked up in the park, John Murphy. Some guy just called and says he's Grant Wheeler.
But Mrs. Wheeler reported that...
I know. I got to find out about it.
But, Sarge, I don't
hey,
get...
Hey, Flanagan, come on with me. We got to go out to Britt Reed's cottage on the lake shore where Axford is.
Britt Reed made a second phone call from his cottage. A call to Mrs. Wheeler, during which he spoke as the Green Hornet. It was about 1 hour later when Duke Finley dialed the same number while Max and Steve stood by.
Hello?
Mrs. Wheeler?
Yes, Mrs. Wheeler.
I told you I'd call you and tell you where to take a certain package.
Oh, but you already called. I'm leaving with the money just as you said.
What's that? Well,
what's up?
I'm just checking up, Mrs. Wheeler. What time are you going to make that delivery?
At 11 o'clock.
And where are you taking this stuff?
Why, to the post road where it intersects Granger Highway. That is correct, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all right. You do just that.
What's the matter, Duke? What's wrong?
Boys, it's a good thing I'm a fast thinker. The Green Hornet's muscling in on this affair. That dame's going out to deliver $20,000 in cash to the Green Hornet, thinking he's the guy that has her husband. Well, we're going to the same place at 11 o'clock tonight, and we're going to grab the money and the Green Hornet. Come on, let's get the car. We'll have to drive around enough to make sure we're not being followed before we start out on the post road. You've been watching out the rear window, Steve. Are you sure we weren't followed here?
I'm sure of it, Duke.
This is the intersection, all right. Sure is out in the country.
Funny dark.
Hey, there's a guy standing over there.
Tall guy. Maybe that's the Green Hornet. Keep quiet now. We'll move close. Maybe I can get in solid with the cops if I turn the Green Hornet over to them. For 25,000 smackers.
You better soft pedal now.
All right, pal, we got you.
I got his arm.
We've got you.
Take it easy.
Hey, what's the idea? Let go of me.
Try to pull a fast one, eh, mister? Well, you've made your last play. Turn that flashlight on him, Moxie.
Right. Hey, you don't have to go this far. What's the matter with you?
Hey, Duke. This is Britt Reed. He's publisher of the Daily Sentinel.
Of course I'm Britt Reed.
What are you doing here?
I've been waiting 15 minutes for you men to show up. I came to represent Mrs. Wheeler.
You mean you brought the cash here? Is that it?
That's it.
Now
take your hands off me. What's the idea of the roughhouse?
Why didn't Mrs. Wheeler come?
Mrs. Wheeler's over there, and the police are with her.
Ah, you're crazy.
It's a bluff. You're trying to make me think she'd put her husband on the spot by calling the law?
Her husband's on no spot, Findlay. Grant Wheeler got home over an hour ago.
More lies. You can't make me believe that stuff. I'm giving you the works right now.
Like fun, you.
What?
We got you. We got you covered.
Try any roughhouse and we'll shoot to kill.
Throw down your guns and put up your hands.
I give up. Don't shoot.
Hold it. Hold it.
So, Finley, it's you that's working with the Green Hornet.
And it's you that's trying to collect ransom from Mrs. Wheeler.
Wait a minute. We don't know anything about the Green Hornet.
We don't have anything to do with them.
Well, you had plenty to do with taking advantage of Wheeler's condition to collect ransom. And by golly, Finley, that'll hold you for another 10 years. And your pal's with you.
No, wait. Listen. We came here to get the Green Hornet. You got to believe us. Ask Mrs. Wheeler. She'll tell you he's the one that called her.
Axford, that car down the road, you see it?
I see something.
Perhaps the Hornet was going to meet Mrs. Wheeler.
By golly, I wonder.
He's starting away.
Not only starting, he's getting away, Burke.
He probably changed his plans when he saw so much activity.
There. You see, the Green Hornet was coming here.
That's quite possible, Findlay. You see, the Hornet must have followed Axford when he took Grant Wheeler out of jail. Then he called Mrs. Wheeler. But that doesn't alter the fact that you called a half hour later.
And you schemed the whole thing.
And for that, you're going back to prison.
It was long after midnight when Michael Axford came into the apartment and wakened Britt Reed.
Oh, golly, Reed, I've been up till now writing a story of what happened tonight.
How was Grant Wheeler when you left him?
Oh, he's doing fine. His memory came back when he got with his wife and daughter. But even if it hadn't, Findlay's gooks would have been cooked. Wheeler's identification of them crooks was all that was needed. By golly, Reed, Findlay will get the works this time. I don't suppose we ever will know who it was to switch clothes with Wheeler just after he disappeared from home.
Probably not.
And there's another thing I don't get, Reed. How did the Hornet know that Mrs. Wheeler was waiting for a call with instructions for delivering the ransom?
Oh, she explained that to me, Axford. The Hornet called from my beach house after he'd knocked you and Wheeler out. And as soon as he mentioned Grant Wheeler's name, Mrs. Wheeler said she had the ransom money ready and asked what she should do with it. I guess the Green Hornet took advantage of the opportunity.
Well, that being the case, why did he call the cops?
Oh, was it the Hornet who called the police?
It must have been. Burke got the call while I was unconscious.
He probably wanted the police to get there in a hurry so he wouldn't be accused of abducting Grant Wheeler.
It's a shame that Findlay was picked up so quick. With him going back to jail, all the time you spent trying to prove he'd bribed his way out of prison with the parole board is wasted.
Axford, parole boards are no better than the officials who appoint them. Perhaps we'd better improve parole boards by arousing the people so they'll elect better officials. After all, the real responsibility for good government lies with the voters themselves. It's the responsibility of every citizen to know the men for whom he votes.
Okay, Reed, okay. I didn't mean to get you started on your favorite subject. But I was just thinking. It's a funny one, the way Findlay and his pals thought you were the Green Hornet. Oh, golly, if that had been true, what a story I'd have had for the Sentinel.
Yes, Axford. You can say that again.
Set the Lexby, Pep Bob, parole criminal, captured and kidnapped, plot Findlay involved in Wheeler disappearance, Green Hornet attempts to hijack ransom. Read all about it, Green Hornet still at large.
If you would like to win one of the 200 genuine Webster Chicago wire recorders, you must hurry. Today is the last day we can tell you about this big, easy contest on this program. Just finish this sentence in 10 additional words or less. I like Cheerios Walt Disney pocket-sized comic books because. For complete rules, get the handy entry blank at your grocer's. Enclose your name and address and one Cheerios box top and mail at once to Green Hornet, Box 7800, Box 7800, Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to The Green Hornet, brought to you by Cheerios, the breakfast cereal that's made from good, old-fashioned, nourishing oats, all ready to eat. Attention, Green Hornet fans. Next week, we'll tell you how you can get a big, exciting Model City. Model City looks just like a real city. It's complete with business buildings, houses, automobiles, and about everything you see in a real city. And you can get Model City without sending in a single penny and without waiting. That's right. Be sure to listen to this program next week. We'll tell you how you can get Model City when you get the Betty Crocker cereal tray.
Makes me want to run really
fast.
Be
with us again next week at the same time when General Mills will again present The Green Hornet. This copyrighted here originates in Detroit, and all characters, places, and incidents used are fictitious. Al Neal speaking.
What?
They have some great premiums on that program.
Yes.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That was one of the fun things about being a kid, wasn't it, Gar? All the premiums.
What? Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Small world comment on this.
Yeah.
Britt Reed, the Green Hornet, was the grandnephew of John Reed, who was who? The Lone
Ranger. Yep.
Right. Ah.
Yeah.
There's one episode of the Green Hornet.
There's
one episode of the Green Hornet. We'll have to find it because it's where Dan Reed, Britt Reed's father, is scolding him about his what he's doing, and then tells him the story of actually knowing and being nephew to the Lone Ranger.
Wow!
I'll have to dig up that story. I will have to dig that up.
That there are a few confusions in that, but yeah, those premiums, man, they were amazing. I mean, I have some premiums around here for stuff, but nothing like some of these things. My gosh. Thank you.
Yep.
Giving away a wireless.
And of course, the Green Hornet was brought to us by Cheerios, but Erie House is brought to you by Berrios, the only breakfast cereal that hops out of the bowl. Berrios.
They have hops in the bowl.
There you go. One last aspect to this little story. What could it be?
Oh.
It must be.
I forgot.
I would have forgotten.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
A fibber is also probably an ad libber.
Okay.
Okay. A fibber, fibber. He used that term to a grown lady. He said, lady. He said, lady, you told a fib there. You big fibber. What are you doing? And you're like, I told a fibber. What is going on? So I jumped on it. A fibber, fibber. Fibber.
which is not to be confused with the flibber.
Oh, our Fibber McGee, or any of that stuff.
There you go.
Fibber. Also an ad libber. Yeah. Not to be confused with women's liberation. Yeah, that's something else. But
Whole lot of radio.
More than we care to forget.
Where to next?
Hey, we can get us back in line with time probably if we went to, well, Theater 5, which is a little shorter.
Yeah, there we go.
There's a nice, interesting title that fits right in, The Forgotten.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what's the title?
The Forgotten.
No, the title. What is the title?
It's called The Forgotten.
Well, if you forgot, don't worry about it. Just give us the title.
Okay, The Forgotten. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. He's on third.
And I don't give a darn. Yes.
The Forgotten.
And Dave is into the Berrios. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps you forget, too. Yeah.
Originally broadcast
February 15th, 1965.
A man has learned much, who has learned how and when to die. A man has grown 10 feet tall who can say, this is it for me. This is where I get off. No transfer, no detour. Just a direct route. Why do you frown like that? Why do you look so frightened? I am 10 feet tall. Wipe the terror from your eyes. From up here, even in the black shadow obscure you. You look very pretty.
Theater 5 presents The Forgotten.
Keep walking. Forget you saw me.
You're going to jump.
Would you get out of here?
Oh, just look down. It's awfully far down to the river. You'll die 1,000 deaths.
I've already died 1,000 deaths.
But it's... I know.
No life lasts forever. Everything is final. Every breath you take is final. Once it leaves you. The day is his final. Dies with sleep.
Oh, but there's another day. Another night. Another sleep. There's another breath. And most wonderful of all, there's another hope.
For who? For you?
For everyone alive.
What are you, some kind of Pollyanna or something?
No.
Well, beat it, girlie. Get lost.
I'm not a girlie. Far from it.
Goody for you.
You're not very old yourself.
35.
That's awfully young to want to die.
I'm an old man. I've lived a million years.
Even at my age, you can feel you've lived a million years.
What are you doing down there?
Come down, and I'll tell you.
Nobody walks across unless there's a reason.
I've got a reason.
Got a flat?
No.
What are you doing down there?
Come down and I'll tell you.
Keep walking, girl. You're sure to draw attention to me. The cops will come and some minister with a lot of soft talk about God. The crowd will gather and some yellow-bellied crumb will yell, jump! And I'll yell back, come up and hold my hand, you scum, and we'll jump together. Go on, start walking.
No one can see you perched up there in that girder. It's dark.
You saw me.
Only because I happened to look up.
And someone else can happen to look up.
No one ever walks across this bridge at night. You said so yourself.
No. They drive. Look at them. Speeding. Speeding. Speeding to where? Home? An argument? A lousy meal?
Please come down and talk to me. I'm terribly alone. I need someone to talk to.
You got troubles?
Yes.
And why don't you jump over that railing you're hugging so hard? Let the river take care of them for you.
Maybe if I talk to you first...
Well, leave me alone.
You asked me a little while ago what I was doing here.
You said you had a flat.
You said that. I don't own a car.
What are you doing here?
I came to jump, too.
No kidding.
I came to jump over this railing and destroy myself.
Yeah? Well, what are you waiting for?
Then I saw you perched up there, ready to jump. And I suddenly realized how wrong it was.
Just like that, huh?
A coward's way out.
Now I can see you better.
But why stand there? Outside the railing on that narrow ledge, you can slip off.
I intend to.
Please, come over to this side.
You are pretty. Why do you want to destroy yourself?
Oh, please, you make me nervous.
Now look. Look how beautiful it looks from here. Black, mysterious. Oh, how I love you, River. River, be good to me. Stay and hold me. I'll be coming to you soon.
Oh, it's ugly and frightening.
Oh. Why do you want to kill yourself?
Because... I don't believe I've ever known a single day of happiness in all my life.
Well, it's kind of hard to believe. Even I've known a few happy days. Not many, but a few.
Have you really? Tell me about them.
Well, I got to think.
Oh, I bet you had lots of them.
No, not lots. Let me see. The day Rosalie Newton promised to be my steady girl. That was one. We were about 13 or 14, I guess. I was carrying her books home from school. We went to Wiley's Ice Cream Parlor for a soda. I treated her. It was the first time I'd ever been alone with Rosalie. I was so nervous, I got clammy all over. I tried to hide it by telling jokes. I guess she didn't notice.
Oh, Oliver, you are funny.
Well, here's another one. What's black and white and red all over?
Oh, I know that one. A newspaper.
Can I carry your books home again tomorrow?
Sure.
Every day?
Well, if you want to.
I sure do.
What are you going to be when you grow up?
Gee, I don't know.
Well, everybody should know what they're going to be when they grow up.
What are you going to be?
A nurse.
A nurse? Yeah, that's nice. Like Miss Black at school. She looks pretty in her white uniform.
I want to work in a hospital. You need a lot of young doctors in a hospital.
People are always dying in a hospital.
Well, it'd be fun trying to save them.
I guess it would.
Why don't you become a doctor?
I don't know. I don't like hospitals.
This is a nice soda.
Yeah, Wiley always makes nice sodas.
He charges enough.
Would you like another?
Oh, no, thanks. I can hardly finish this one.
Rosalie.
Where do you get all the money?
Oh, my paper route. I'm allowed to keep all I make.
Well, you're lucky.
Rosalie, will you be my girl? I mean, will you be my steady girl?
Why, Oliver.
I know you got a crush on Jerry Reeves.
Oh, Oliver, I have not.
He walks you home every day.
Jerry's a pest.
You always exchange notes in class.
Well, he's my brother's best friend. He always hangs around the house.
Then, will you be my steady girl?
I'd love to, Oliver. I really would.
I was on cloud nine all that day.
I bet you were. She must have been awfully nice.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to her?
I married her.
Oh. Where is she now?
With her husband somewhere.
Oh.
Hey, look. Look down there. Look at her flowing so gently. Look how she sparkles in the moonlight. How beautiful she is.
Hi.
I'll be down presently. I'll be down. Look.
I don't want to look. Please, come over to this side where it's safe.
Asleep eternal. No more hurts. Just peace. No more frustrations. Just slumber. No more fears, hate. Just sleep.
Someone could see you clinging to that railing, please. Won't you come over to this side?
Sleep. Sleep.
That's part one, Theater 5.
If I recall.
I guess they forgot him.
I guess.
So you could say this is a suicide date, huh?
It's the last date you'll ever be on.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's kind of bridging the gap there, or bridging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you did there. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
See, another clever turn of phrase.
Yeah, just watch your back, that's all. Watch your back.
Ooh, me?
Oh, my. Anyway, interesting story there. Interesting story going on here. We'll see what happens to these forgottens. Or maybe we'll forget.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't recall. No.
It could happen.
Let's wrap up The Forgotten from Theater 5.
Let's.
I never knew how frightening a bridge could be at night. Everything looks so sinister. The shadows like ghouls. Floating around, angry. Please, please come off that ledge.
I walked tall that day. Taller than the church steeple as I took Rosalie home. You must have had a day like that.
I can't remember.
Everybody's had a day like that.
Nobody ever asked me to be his steady girl.
Where'd you live, in a convent or something?
No, but nobody ever asked me to be a steady girl.
You must have had at least one day. Think.
Well, the day I graduated from high, I guess. Yes, that day. It was in June.
There. Your mom and pop were there, all your friends, relatives.
My mother and father were divorced when I was 4.
Oh.
After that, I remember being on the move. Move. Rooming houses and motels, one after another. I was left alone a lot. One day, they arrested my mother for living like she did. And I was put in an orphanage.
It's rough.
When I was older, I was placed in foster homes. Some were nice. Some not so nice. The day I graduated from high school was a happy day. I walked tall that day, too, although in a different way. It seemed almost as if I were a part of something.
You'll
that
look
I
just
belong.
Fine, Emily.
The first time.
My, this is a very big day for you. I want you to know both Mr. Farnsworth and I are very proud of you.
Thank you, Mrs. Farnsworth.
That's why we bought you this dress for your graduation.
Oh, it's perfectly lovely.
We wanted you to look every bit as nice as any of the other girls.
Oh, I know I shall, Mrs. Farnsworth. And I'll always be grateful to you and Mr. Farnsworth.
You've been a good girl, Emily. A good, conscientious worker. You've never given us any trouble. That's more than I can say for some of the other girls we've had.
Thank you, Mrs. Farnsworth. You've been kind to me.
As you know, Emily, we're just poor, hard-working people. But Mr. Farnsworth and I want you to have this as a graduation gift.
A wristwatch.
It's not an expensive one, but it's the best we
can. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
You'll be on your way now, Emily. You're 18 and a high school graduate. Have you any plans?
Well, I'm going to New York, Mrs. Farnsworth.
Oh?
There are good job opportunities in New York, they say. I want to get a job and go to school at night. I want to be a school teacher.
Sounds fine, Emily. Just fine.
I'm really looking forward to it.
You'll keep in touch?
Oh, of course, Mrs. Farnsworth.
And now you'd better start being dressed. You haven't much time to get ready.
I want you to know, Mrs. Farnsworth, this is the happiest day of my life.
Now on with you. Quick.
Yes, Mrs. Farnsworth. I'll be ready in no time. In just no time
at all. Well, tell me, Emily, did you keep in touch?
Oh, yes.
Look, a stinking tanker plowing through my beautiful river and slashing it like a knife. Stop it, I tell you! Stop it!
Rivers are for ships, Oliver.
That river down there is for me. For us. That's our salvation, our peace, our tranquility. We'll jump together, Emily. Come, give me your hand.
No.
It'll come up and enfold us like Jacob's robe, full of understanding. We'll walk with angels.
No.
Don't be afraid, Emily.
It's cowardly. Life wasn't meant to be destroyed. It was meant to be lived.
You came here to destroy yourself? Come, Emily. Together.
Why did your wife... Why did Rosalie leave you?
Huh?
Why did she leave you, Oliver?
Oh. Marry another man. A successful one.
Is that the only reason?
I never counted all the reasons. Maybe because she never loved me to start with. The seed of love she sowed on barren soil. Maybe because she lost respect for me. You wear the mark of failure on the sleeve of your coat like a blazing neon sign. Oh, she could pour it on.
That was cruel.
And maybe because we never had any kids. A woman should have kids or a job when she's married, or her mind becomes a playroom for the devil. And maybe because I loved her too much, tried too hard to hold her. And maybe because I kited those company checks and got caught and faced a jail sentence.
What's kiting a check?
Adding an extra digit to it. Pocketing the difference.
Did they give you a long sentence?
No. I'm out on bail. They sentenced me next week. But I won't be around next week. I'll be down there. Asleep. That'll be a laugh. I'll be down there.
Please, get off that ledge.
What happened to your night school?
What? Oh, I enrolled at City College. I couldn't wait to attend classes every night. It was wonderful.
So?
I met a man. First man I ever knew.
Yeah, I know. He left you for another gal.
He was very sweet. He'd meet me every night after class, and we'd go to a little restaurant for coffee and maybe a sandwich and talk. See, we had so much to talk about. It was always exciting. It was all sort of, kind of like a dream. On weekends, we'd take drives out to the country. We'd stop somewhere for lunch. We'd walk through the woods and maybe lie on the grass. Oh, it was fun. It was beautiful. I fell in love with him.
How about the other gal?
I thought he'd ask me to marry him. But when I told him I was pregnant...
Pregnant?
He stopped seeing me.
Dirty rat. Why didn't you take him to court?
He worked for some European firm. He went back. He's married and has a family over there.
Oh, I'd like to lay my hands on that character.
It was so pretty while it lasted. So very, very pretty. Oh, you've come over the railing, Oliver.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Emily, you're going to have a baby.
Yes.
Do you realize what you'd have done if you'd jumped off this bridge?
I'd have committed suicide.
You'd have also committed murder.
I hadn't thought of that.
Emily, there's a pizza joint at the end of this bridge. What do you say we go over there? Have a pizza, maybe a beer. Do a little thinking. You know, there's tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And there's the kids.
Whatever you say, Oliver. Sure. Sure.
You're shivering. Here, take my coat.
Oh, thanks.
Let's go.
Yes. Let's go.
Theater 5 has presented The Forgotten, written by Nick Cosentino, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Gene Gillespie, William Griffin, Elise Camargo, Abby Lewis, and Larry Robinson. Audio engineers Neil Pulse and Joe Palmer. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York, 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York, 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
One of the famous four.
You know, with that jazz flute, I kept thinking of Anchorman. Legend.
I like the bongos. ABC Radio Network Production. I like the bongos.
You play the jazz flute?
Ah. I like the bongos.
The bongos are good.
Yeah.
Bongos are always good. Babaloo.
They are.
Yeah.
Babaloo.
I actually have some 1950, 1960 vinyl records of bongos.
Great. Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I remember those. Oh, my gosh. Back in the time machine
oh, yeah.
we go. I had forgotten.
And then there was someone, V-I-N-E-R, and the amazing bongo band. Insane. They do a Inagata DeVita bongos. And it's like, oh, gosh, wow.
Wow. That's not easy to do.
And the whole thing. Oh, it's like... I don't know if it's a double record set or if it's a CD set or what, but Al Viner, V-I-N-E-R, Al or Mike or Jeff, or I can't remember the first name.
Bill or Bob, anyone. But
V-I-N-E-R, amazing bongo band.
I think it's Butch.
Crazy. Anyway.
Melrose is his first name, I think.
I'm going to find out.
Melrose. It's got to be that.
I can't place it.
Michael Viner. Michael Viner. Incredible bongo band. I found it. There it was.
Can't place Melrose.
And,
okay.
Oh gosh. Oh, it's not new. It's 1973. But it freaking Dale, plug into it, find out. You'll love it, I'm sure.
Dave, you
might too.
Bongo Mania. Didn't they use bongos a lot in like the where the hipsters of the day, the beatniks. Thank
beatnik.
You. That's the word I'm looking for. See?
Then also your hippies, and then now I don't even know what they're called now. Ninnies. I don't know what they're. I don't know.
Ninnies. Yes. Ninnies. I like that. Ninnies.
I don't know.
Ninny
guys
hair.
Walking around with a bun on the back of their head or something. I don't know.
Look, it didn't even look all that good on Princess Leia. It's the bun on the head thing. So she had two of them.
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
They were like earmuffs.
Wow. It was. I'm not going to go there. I could, but I won't. But anyway. Yeah.
Remember Hardware
so.
Wars? Remember Hardware Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The great Paul Reed narrating it. The Wookiee Monster.
That was the funniest.
Yeah. Before we get too far away from this, let's chime in with a moral and get it done, please.
Oh, I had forgotten.
Yeah, I know.
Not really. Good Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
It's difficult, but not impossible, to jump through a hoop if you're holding it.
I think I've seen someone do it, though.
I've seen someone do it.
Holding the flaming
hoops. I couldn't do it.
Jumping through it. Yeah, I wouldn't. Not now.
Even if it was a really big hoop, I don't know if I could jump through it.
When I was young and dumb, I would try it, but I'm old and dumb and I know better.
Yeah, now, you know, you might break a hip. You know, you might, a knee might go out. You know, we don't do that now.
No.
Right? No. No.
No.
Well, if the money was... if the money was right.
Young and dumb, and if the price is right, we're in.
If the price is right.
But at my age, they don't mint enough money.
It would have to be a really good coin to offset the need for an operation.
Yeah.
Have my spleen
if the money
replaced.
Was right.
Yeah. lest we forget time to
learn on radio.
Let George do it. Let George
finally. Fine. Do we like this one? Yeah, we like this one. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't think anything's going to happen because it's called The Forgotten Murder. I mean, if you forgot to murder somebody, that's not much of a story.
Is it? That's not much of a story at all.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just forget it.
Did you forget you did it? Did you forget to do it? Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe we should just forget it, you know?
Oh, forget I said anything.
Yeah. Oh, well, be that way.
Already forgotten.
Okay.
What?
Forgive and
saying?
Forget.
What?
Forgive and forget. Yes.
What room am I in? What?
The dungeon.
Again? Why do I keep ending up in the dungeon?
Because it's a reward, not a punishment in Erie House.
That could be, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yes, it was all a bad dream.
It was all a bad dream. Forgotten Murder, let George do it. I wonder what the original broadcast date was.
April 14th, 1952.
Sure. Personal notice. Danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you've got a job for me, George Valentine.
Woo.
Right, full detail. Standard Oil Company of California invites you to Let George Do It. Before we begin tonight's adventure, here's a word about gasoline. If habit has you buying a gas that stresses one feature at the expense of others, shift to Chevron Supreme, the gasoline that's a correct balance of all eight high-performance qualities. Quick starting, fast warm-up, smooth acceleration, economy mileage, full power, vapor lock prevention, anti-knock, and area blending. Try a tank full in your car of the gas with all eight Fill up with Chevron Supreme gasoline at any standard station or independent Chevron gas station where they say and mean we take better care of your car. Transcribed. And now, tonight's story, The Forgotten Murder, a transcribed adventure of George Valentine.
George Valentine, Esquire. My dear sir, I would deem it a great favor if you came for tea this afternoon at 3:30. I've been led to believe that you're the kind of man who would interest himself, first by a stipend, of course, in a problem such as mine. A murder which is not even considered as such. A murder
which has long since been forgotten by everyone except yours very truly, Miss Felicity Graham.
That's quite a letter. Equal parts of gentility and murder.
I had a maiden aunt once who used to write letters that sounded like this, even if she was only asking the milkman to leave an extra bottle of cream.
Here, let me see. 45 Barrington Terrace. I know that neighborhood. Ancestral brownstones, with every room like a set out of arsenic and old lace.
And every closet with a family skeleton. I know what you mean.
Well, Brooksy, I don't know about you, but I find myself rather impatient to have tea with anyone named Felicity.
Any more tea for anyone?
No, thanks.
Please excuse us, Paul. I'd like to speak to Miss Brooks and Mr. Valentine in private.
Well, I thought you trusted me completely, Felicity. With everything.
Please, Paul. You've been so sweet and patient all these years. Bear with me a little longer.
But I don't think I... Oh, whatever you say, whatever you wish.
My best friend. My only faithful suitor.
Your letter referred to a murder, Miss Graham.
Yes. A murder which took place some 15 years ago. Until it's solved, I'm afraid I can't find any peace and happiness in my own life.
Miss Graham, I think you'd better give Mr. Valentine all the facts from the beginning.
Well, there was only one person who was close to me in the whole world. My cousin, Laura. We became orphans about the same time, and for years we were inseparable. And then she got married. And the scoundrel murdered her. And he's off somewhere, grinning about it right now.
Well, Miss Graham, if what you say is true, this sounds like a case for the police.
Oh, the police. They consider me their personal cross to bear. They've been listening to my story for the past 15 years. The kinder ones simply say I'm pitched in the head.
But if they feel there's nothing can be done, I don't know how much help I can give you.
But I tell you, Laura was murdered. I refuse to believe that she and her husband entered into a suicide pact. Ridiculous.
Suicide pact? But I thought her husband was the murderer. If he's dead, too,
well,
then...
according to the police files, Laura and her husband, James Cartwright, committed suicide together. Drove their car off a lonely pier into the ocean.
How awful.
Their bodies were never found on account of the tides. The only things that were found along the shore were one of Laura's shoes and her handbag.
Was there a suicide note?
Yes. It was found on Laura's night table. It said that she and Cartwright ran through all the money her parents had left her. They couldn't stand the prospect of just grubbing along.
Well, frankly, Miss Graham, I don't see how I fit into all this.
Look. There, on the financial page. It's yesterday's journal.
Seen the place of Juan Palos, South American millionaire.
Now, this is supposed to be Juan Palos, executive vice president of the Los Altos gold mine. He's here in the States for a director's meeting.
Well, what about it, Miss Graham?
I believe this man to be James Cartwright.
You do?
I met Laura's husband only once in my life, and that was quite enough. But I still say this could be Cartwright.
Oh, no, isn't that taking a lot for granted, Miss Graham? It's been 15 years. So many men look alike.
It was the name Los Altos that caught my attention. You see, Mr. Valentine, all during those few months they were married, Cartwright somehow arranged to send most of Laura's money out of the country to a town named Los Altos in South America. Some legal hocus-pocus with a shyster lawyer.
How do you know all this?
Oh, I checked with a private detective. That's where the trail ended 15 years ago.
As I get it, you feel James Cartwright married your cousin for her money. Then somehow, very skillfully, he stripped her of it.
Oh, it was all very neat.
Laura's signature was on every withdrawal, no doubt about that.
And then you feel he killed her on what was supposed to be a suicide pact.
Cartwright loved himself too much to commit suicide. He was too handsome, too arrogant. And he knew they didn't run out of money. He just had it planted where he could pick it up.
Well, I just can't go up to this Mr. Palace and ask him to bear his life to me.
I know. And that's why I'm willing to pay you. I don't even have a picture of Cartwright. And there isn't a set of his fingerprints anywhere. He thought that.
Well, then,
I just want you to meet this Mr. Palos. See if he doesn't make the one little slip that'll prove I'm right about it.
What do you mean?
If this man is James Cartwright, he won't be able to resist anything that has to do with cards.
Cards?
Not only was he a gambler, but he prided himself on the tricks he could do with cards. All sorts of sleight of hand.
Charming fellow to play cards with.
Oh, I know if you go about it right, Mr. Valentine. You'll be able to make him give himself away.
Appeal to the card sharp in him, huh? Well, we could give it a try.
I must be sure. This one last time. I can't find any peace in my heart. Can't pick up my own life unless I'm sure I haven't failed Laura. I loved her very much. Of course. James Cartwright was a beast. He made life a nightmare for Laura. Deliberately. Cruelly.
How do you mean?
He got a perverse pleasure out of hurting her. She was a high-strung, sensitive girl. She was afraid of the dark, for instance. When we were little girls, if we were left in the dark, she'd run out of the room, screaming. Cartwright would pull cute little tricks, like putting all the lights out. All sorts of things like that.
Well, Miss Graham, it's a long shot. But if it'll make you feel any better, I'll see what I can do. I don't put much stock in all this, Angel.
But if it will put her mind at rest, it's surely worth a try.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mr. Valentine, wait.
Hmm? Oh, Paul Henridge, isn't it?
Yes. I want you to stop checking into this business with Mr. Paulus.
Well, now, I was under the impression Miss Graham wanted that to be a private matter.
I was eavesdropping. Not ashamed to admit it.
Well, you certainly should be.
Here, Valentine, take this check.
Oh, that's a pretty check. What am I supposed to do to earn it?
Tell Felicity that Paulus isn't Cartwright.
Well, now, look, he probably isn't, friend, but at least I'm going to try and make sure.
Valentine, I want to marry Felicity. If she's convinced Laura and her husband did commit suicide, I think she'll finally say yes to me. I don't want to take even the smallest chance of Paulus being Cartwright.
I understand how you feel, Henridge, but I do have an obligation to my client.
You'll be a sorry man, Valentine, if you don't listen to me.
I guess it's just a chance I'll have to take. Yeah, yeah, I hear you, Johnson. She's been bothering you before, year after year, huh? And the answer's still suicide, huh? No doubt about the handwriting on the suicide note. Okay, thanks a lot.
George, the cablegram from that detective agency in Buenos Aires is here.
Oh, good. Read it.
The Palaces are respectable members of South American society. Senor Palos struck it rich at the Los Altos gold mine about 15 years ago. Married a lady from the States.
Struck it rich about 15 years ago. Uh-huh. Oh, but it is such a shame. We are friends of Senor and Senora Palos. And now we miss them, eh?
That's right, sir. They checked out this morning.
Darling, giving us young man $10 for being so helpful and telling us where the palaces went.
But, madam, I didn't.
Women, eh, my young friend?
Yes, women. They went up to the mountaintop ski lodge to rest up from doing nothing.
Take a card, Brooks.
Stop with that accent.
All right, all right. Take a card, anyway.
No, not again.
Again.
It's bad enough I have to do all the driving.
But I have to do a little practicing on card tricks.
Yeah, I know.
Go on, go on. Go, go, go. Take a card.
Okay.
Three of diamonds.
Close. Queen of spades.
Well, it's still a few miles to the ski lodge. I'll probably learn.
And Mrs. Pallas are at the table by the window.
Thanks, waiter. Here you are. Buy yourself an annuity.
Thank you, sir.
George, people are looking.
Well, I got to get into the role of Georgie Valentine, boy life of the party. Come on.
Okay, Georgie.
Well, well, honey, look at these two people sitting here by themselves. I bet they're as lonely as we are.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
I bet they'd like company, too.
Really?
Well, just a minute, my dear. Let's see what the gentleman wants.
Well, when me and the wife here walked in, we said right off, I bet you these two people are just like us, hate to eat alone.
That's just what my husband said.
How interesting.
So we decided to come over and rescue you. Sit down, Claire. Oh, yeah, I want you to meet my wife, Mr.
Palos, Juan Palos, and Mrs. Palos.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, Valentine is the name. I travel in women's dresses.
You
always gets a salesman. I sell women's dresses, yeah. What's your line?
Gold.
Just gold?
Gold.
How nice for you.
Juan, it's really getting quite late.
Oh, we have time, Doris.
Yeah, Mr. Palace, I'm glad to meet another businessman who knows how to take things easy, how to relax. I bet anything you have a hobby, too.
Yes. Skiing, of course. Mountain climbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, fine. But I have a hobby I carry around with me. Makes me the life of the party wherever I go.
I'm sure you don't need a hobby like to do that, Mr. Valentine.
You're right, dearie.
Yeah, but a hobby sure helps. Here, you see these cards? Go on now, pick a card.
Well,
no, go ahead, please. Go ahead. Go on.
All right.
Don't show me now.
No.
Five of hearts.
I'm afraid not. King of clubs.
But looky here. I take the whole deck of cards, and by flipping them up in the air like that, I shuffle the whole deck.
Oops. Oh, Georgie, they all fell.
Here, let me.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Mr. Palace. If you want to show me how it should be done.
I? Show you? Oh, senor, when it comes to things like this, I am, all thumbs. I would be no help at all.
Oh.
I merely wanted to help you pick up the cards.
Poor Georgie and his card tricks.
I don't know about you, Juan, but I've had enough of this. I'm going upstairs.
Very well, Doris. It's been very nice meeting you, Mr. Valentine. It's too bad about your trick. So sorry I couldn't help you to make it come out right.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, perhaps you tried too hard. That's a common failing with so many amateurs. Good night.
Not even a little nibble, senor.
Yeah, and I was certainly bad enough.
Well, he's either the wrong man or he's very clever.
Oh, it isn't a question of brains, Brooksy. I counted on instinct. If he were James Cartwright, demon card trickster, I was sure he couldn't resist showing me how the trick should have been done.
Well, what now?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, wait, Brooksy. Suppose I tell Palace who I am and what I'm here for.
Oh, fine. You'll fess up just like that.
Well, it isn't as silly as it sounds. It may turn into a very neat little trap.
But if he is Cartwright, that'll give him all the warning he needs.
You know, Brooksy, they haven't invented a trap yet that'll work without bait. And I'm sure of one thing. I'll make a better piece of cheese than I am a card sharp.
Return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. Maybe you've noticed when you drive into a standard station or independent Chevron gas station that your car saver had a brand new tire set up in front of the station or in the window. It's the safer, longer mileage Atlas tire. Atlas tires have wide, flat treads, treads that put more rubber on the road and give you better traction. They're thick treads with good, deep grooves and hundreds of tough, anti-skid edges. And mighty important is the written warranty that you get when you buy an Atlas tire. 12 months protection against tire damage from any road hazard. A warranty that's honored by more than 38,000 Atlas dealers from coast to coast and in Canada. You can buy Atlas tires on convenient budget terms, charge them if you have a Chevron National credit card, and get a liberal trade-in on your present tires, too. An inspection will show whether or not your present tires are safe. Drive in soon and ask your car saver to give you all the facts on the many safety features of the Atlas tire. Then you'll know why he's proud to put such a tire out front in his station. And you'll know why Atlas tires are out front with motorists all over the West. Remember, the men to see for safe, sure Atlas tires are the car savers at independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations where they say and mean we take better care of your car.
Yes, we do. Much nicer.
I'm glad they
car
do.
Care. Yes.
Yes, I'm glad they do. Yeah.
One thing I wish I could forget. I recently replaced all four of my tires. Man, that was
that's
expensive.
A lot of money. That's a lot of money these days.
I wish I could forget.
you know what? That my dealership told me I needed to consider doing that, and they were only going to charge me like almost $900.
Yeah.
I went and got a Black Friday deal and got like four of them for like $350. And
oh, there you
so,
go. Oh, there even better.
Stay away from the dealership, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hope I don't forget
yeah,
that.
It was hindsight and other people saying, wait, you didn't go to Sam's Club? You didn't go price them around? And I was like, no, I just went to the dealer. Man, they got you. And I was like, yeah, they did. But
yeah,
I've
we
got
did.
New tires and they're installed and warranty and all that stuff. So.
There you go.
Yep. Price and tires.
Now you can't afford the gasoline to drive anywhere.
Wait,
I
kind of tires. Tease into the point of I don't drive that much anyway. It was like, so in the event I have to go, I'm ready. But really, not too much going on.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I love Bob Bailey's voice. I love his presentation. This and Johnny Dollar both. I just absolutely love his presentation.
Yes.
And,
he has
and
a voice.
Let George do it. Is he married to the female he's with,
no.
or is that his secretary?
No, that's his assistant. That's his assistant.
They're mighty chummy, but okay.
Chummy.
Chummy. They're pals.
Yes.
They're buds. Bud.
Mm-hmm.
Wise. Remember that?
Yes. Those
whatever
toads.
Whatever happened to the frogs?
A weird advertising campaign that worked, because we still remember the ad and the product.
Yes.
Where's the beef? Remember that one? Where's the beef?
Yeah, I was working at Burger King at the time. I definitely remember that one.
Good old Clara. Good old Clara.
I know. Stella Stevens passed away at like 90 years old.
I did see that.
I
did see that.
Wow.
That Raquel Welch.
We lost Raquel.
Yeah.
I'm crushed.
Yeah.
She was my first crush. She was my very
first
crush.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
She was a
talented
woman.
A lot of guys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
She is.
I mean,
a couple of good, really good things going for her.
Yeah.
At least a couple of them. Yeah.
Raquel Welch, Sophia Loren, Gina Lola Brigida. I mean, they're just a bevy of women that made it.
A bevy. That's more than two, isn't it?
Depends on what country you're in. I'm kidding. I have no idea. I don't. He had a tail. Beat me. Frog's mane.
And a hat.
$100,000.
And a hat. Yeah.
He had a hat.
And a hat.
He had a hat.
Had a hat.
He had a hat.
That is one
gotta
of the funniest jokes. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's funny.
And you heard
it's,
it here.
It's almost
on Erie House.
Yes.
Yep.
It's one
Do
of those jokes.
Radio deal?
We might. It's one of those jokes like Henny Youngman. Take my wife, please.
Yes.
Like, take her where? What are we doing? I don't know.
To get a hat. To get a hat.
Yeah.
1 million BC, you got it, Fogsbane. That's where I lost my heart to Raquel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Heavy breather. Yeah.
That's called asthma, isn't it? I don't know.
She retained her beauty for her whole life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where she came from, heraldry wise, but like some
good
women
stock.
From Sweden are just like
good
yeah.
stock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. No. I mean, she did that thing in the '60s and she was on the Mork and Mindy program and some
yep.
of the others. She was on Lois and Clark, I think. She was on, I mean, just amazing. Or maybe she was in the Superman film. I can't remember. But,
I don't think she had too many surgeries either. I think she was pretty natural for the most part, you know, other than makeup.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know, just amazing. Just amazing.
Just
equally
amazing.
Is that murder we almost forgot to finish that didn't happen?
Oh, already.
Let George do it with part two of The Forgotten Murder. We'll have time for hilarious hijinks after this.
You're hired by a determined little spinster lady, Miss Felicity Graham, to try and solve a murder mystery more than 15 years old. Your specific assignment is to prove to your own satisfaction whether a South American millionaire, Juan Palos, is or is not James Cartwright. Yes, the same James Cartwright who presumably died in a suicide pact with Felicity's cousin, Laura. Up to now, you've gotten nowhere, so if your name is George Valentine, you decide on the most direct approach possible. You're going to walk right up and tell Senor Palos your suspicions.
Before we go in to see the Palaces, George, you've got to tell me what you want with my compact.
I just wanted to make a nice, noticeable bulge in the pocket of my jacket.
You could tell me why.
I haven't got time.
Yeah? Oh, Senor Valentine, the card tricks man.
Yeah, well, that's what I came over to explain, Mr. Palos. That is, if we may come in.
Well, of course, of course. Has your husband been practicing, Mr. Valentine?
Well, he's been cooking up something.
Juan, who's at the door?
Juan, darling, we must be dressing for dinner, and I'm sure that these people...
Oh, please, Mrs. Palos, this won't take long. The truth is, I'm not a traveling salesman. This is my secretary, Miss Brooks. And the reason I'm up here at the lodge is to find out if you're a murderer, Mr. Palos.
What?
Juan, call the manager at once. This man is a raving lunatic.
Think fast, almighty brother of Dick Tracy.
Well, the suspected murderer, Mr. Palos, was supposed to have practically had an obsession about card tricks. So if he had been you, he would have given himself away when I did that card trick so badly.
Must we listen to any more of this fantastic story?
No, but I find this rather intriguing, my dear. Just why did you suspect me, Mr. Valentine?
The trail of the murderer led to South America. To Los Altos, to be exact. It was lost there.
Oh, my dear fellow. There are more than 1,000 people in Los Altos. Fully more than half of them work for my company, as a matter of fact.
Well, I came to apologize. It was a bad hunch, poorly played.
You should apologize. Forcing yourself on us in the dining room, lying to us.
Yeah, I know. Especially when it was also unnecessary.
I'm glad to see I've been exonerated.
Now, that's not exactly what I meant.
What is that?
I mean, I now have a concrete way to solve this case. In my pocket, I have the lovely heart-shaped compact that was found in the dead lady's handbag.
Really?
Yeah, strange how everybody overlooks such a glaring piece of evidence at the time. But sometimes it happens.
What in the world are you talking about?
Well, as soon as I get back to town, I'm going to have an expert check on this compact. And I think I can prove it was murder.
Ah, well, good luck, Valentine. And be sure to let me know about the solution when you find it. I shall be most interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
George, I haven't the slightest idea
hey, wait,
what you're trying
to... Hey, hey, you!
That man! That's Paul Henrich!
Yeah, you, Henrich, wait! Don't you know it's impolite not to answer when somebody's talking to you?
Let go of me, Valentine.
Not until you answer a couple of questions.
I warned you not to interfere.
Well, Mr. Henrich, welcome to Mountaintop Lodge.
So you've been eavesdropping again, eh, friend?
Yes, and again, I don't apologize for it.
George,
get out! I'll kill you if you don't stop meddling.
It's not fair, Buster. You didn't say put him up and fight like a man.
I'm not going to let Felicity find out. I don't care if this Juan Palos did kill me.
Okay, if you must play rough. Ow! Come on, Angel, let's get out of here.
Now go on up to your room, Brooksie, and get dolled up for dinner.
But if Paulus is Cartwright, he'll move heaven and earth to get this silly contract.
Well, it's just a long shot, but at least I'll feel we did what we could for Miss Graham. Now go on, scoot.
Okay, darling, I'll see you later. Be careful.
Yeah, I'll keep my back to the wall and the lights on. If there are any fireworks, I want to see who sets them off. Ah, might as well shake. Hey, who's that? I didn't get a chance to put the light on. And the wall, it must have fallen right on my head.
Please, darling, sit still.
And I don't have an enemy in the world, huh?
Maybe it was a dear friend who did this.
All I know is it was a he. I heard his footsteps. And the way he hit me, I know it was. Oh, sure, I see the compact is gone.
And we found out what we wanted. He is Cartwright.
Yeah, a long-lost Cartwright.
Aren't you going to tell the police so they can really dig into Senor Palace's past?
Yeah. But first, we're going down to the dining room and intrude on the palace's privacy once more.
But why?
Furthermore, we're going to make believe this little accident up here never happened.
I'm certainly not going to break bread with a man who nearly broke your head.
I know it doesn't make much sense, Angel, but that's what we have to do. Hearty appetite, folks.
Ah, well, Mr. Valentine and Miss Brooks.
I thought you said you were leaving.
Well, Mrs. Palace, I was out for a little while, but I'm back again, big as life.
Where's Mr. Hendricks, you get at that table.
Everybody's here. May we join you, folks?
Really, don't you think...
Thank you, Mrs. Palace. We will sit down.
Please do.
And since this is our last meeting, I insist on trying one more card trick. Oh, waiter, you'll be ready to help out, won't you?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
Good. Oh, thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for your kind applause. And thank you very much, gentlemen of the orchestra. Your timing was superb.
Juan, people are staring at us.
Well, no, Mr. Valentine, I really must agree with
thank
my
you,
wife.
Thank you, Juan. It's about time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to show you a very spectacular card trick, which will have special meaning to one particular person in here. Since it depends entirely on the element of surprise, I will now ask that the room be plunged into total darkness. Okay, waiter. That's fine.
Doris, wait. Everything is all right.
What made her do it, George? That was horrible.
Come on, Brooksy. Let's get up to the palace's suite.
Doris, please let me in, darling. There is nothing to be frightened about.
Well, perhaps she'd let me come in and help her.
What are you two doing here? Haven't you done enough?
I know how you feel, but if
you... Why did you have to do that?
Well, that's what I must explain.
I don't care about your explanation. I don't want to hear them. Just, please help me. We must get in there. Help me, Valentine.
Okay.
Doris!
Not here.
Doris, where are you? Please, Doris. Oh, Doris. No, she is gone. The back door is open and she is gone. All I can find is this note.
Read it, then.
Lie I have been living is over. And in a way, I am glad. I don't know how you guessed my secret, Valentine. But this to you, Valentine. What does this mean?
You'd better finish it.
I am Laura Cartwright, and I killed my husband 15 years ago. What is that?
George.
He drove me to it, and I planned it so carefully. Sending the money out of the country, planting the evidence, and then going to Los Altos to live. I found real happiness there with you, Juan. But this would have been the end for us anyway. So goodbye. Doris? Doris killed a man? The man you were looking for? No, this is all so mixed up. I know.
Mr. Valentine, may I see you a minute, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. Excuse me.
Mrs. Palazzo, it's terrible. I saw her.
In the dining room, I know.
No, outside. She was trying to drive away in her husband's car in such a hurry.
Yeah.
She lost control and went over the side of the mountain. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible.
Well, the manager wanted to know if you would break the news to Mr. Paulus.
Yeah, I guess so. And then there's still something to be done to help the living.
To ensure the best performance of modern automobile engines, our scientists subjected hundreds of motor oils to grueling laboratory and road tests. Even atomic energy was used. Atomically treated piston rings in test cars showed engine wear as it occurred. The result was heavy-duty RPM, a motor oil that, compared to premium-type oils, as designated by the American Petroleum Institute, doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. So if you're not already using this oil, switch over now to heavy-duty RPM and get top protection for your car. Ask for heavy-duty RPM motor oil at independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations where they say and mean we take better care of your car.
Well, darling, what did Lieutenant Johnson say?
You know, he's a nice guy, Brooksy. If there's a way of keeping the truth about Laura from Felicity, Graham, he'll find it.
Oh, yes, it's much better that way. She can now find some happiness with Paul Hendry.
I should be sore at Paul for slugging me and taking away that worthless compact. But I guess people in love deserve some consideration.
George, how did you ever suspect Mrs. Palace at all? We were so definitely looking for a man.
Well, because it was a man who knocked me out.
Huh?
Yeah, not a woman. And only the murderer knew for sure that the compact didn't mean anything. So why do anything about getting it from me?
That's only a small thing.
But I started to think, looking at it objectively, it was much easier for Doris than her husband to send that money out of the country. And it was her shoe and handbag that were found. And the note about the suicide pact, that was in her handwriting, remember?
And she was an American who came to Los Altos and married Paulo some 15 years ago.
Uh-huh. Still, I had to make sure. And I remembered what Felicity said about Doris's fear of the dark.
Like I always said, George, you don't miss anything.
Uh-huh. Say, what time is it anyway?
I wonder. Of course, that great big round object over our head might help.
Huh?
No police headquarters is complete without it.
Well, at least you can't say the clock was right under my nose.
No, darling. It was just over your head.
Tonight's transcribed adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard Oil Company of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Virginia Gregg as Brooksy. Let George Do It was written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Kenneth Webb. Lorene Tuttle was heard as Felicity, Larry Dobkin as Paulos, Lee Patrick as Mrs. Paulos, Bill Boucher as Paul, and Victor Rodman as the waiter. The music was composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It.
With Mortal, the friendly
Joe. You can do something about cancer. Strike back at this dread disease by joining the Cancer Crusade of the American Cancer Society. Help support its vital scientific research program, education program, and service to the cancer patient. Cancer strikes one in five. Give generously to the American Cancer Society. Mail your contribution today to Cancer, care of Postmaster. Let George Do It is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
That wraps up Let George Do It. You know what? The only thing that would be better is if CW were to join us now. Boy, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Did someone mention my name?
Hey! Here we are.
Wow! Hey, I heard you through cyberspace. How strange. As I'm driving down on my pistons that are radioactive, my RPM pistons
I know.
For radioactive, radioactive people mutate, RPM. Okay.
Was that crazy radioactive testing on your car?
I don't know, but I'd be careful if you drove through parts of Ohio near Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
drink the water.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
oh,
drink
yeah.
the water.
No, you can light it up, though, apparently.
Yeah.
You can
hey,
light
we've, had a river, we've had a river that burned a few times.
There
oh, did you?
Yes, we did.
That wasn't just Chicago? It was
No.
Ohio,
okay,
too.
The river caught fire, too.
Several times.
Yeah.
Several times.
My goodness.
Yep. Can we cross over to speed pump really quick on the Morrow and we can have fun?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had forgotten.
Hello.
House Radio proudly presents. I forgot. Gar's Moral of the Story.
We're not afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what we think is going on in the dark. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, it was all a bad dream.
Yes,
it
was.
All a bad dream.
Yep.
I'm in the bad dream.
Back to the radioactive cars. How is it?
Yes,
what?
Indeed.
Yes, we're atomically measuring our cars or whatever.
Anatomically?
Wow. Atomic.
After,
not anatomic.
Yeah. No, it would have been anatomical once you felt, well, gee, why is Granddad glowing all of a sudden? That's strange.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what would that be? That would be not the mortality rate, the ability to procreate rate, whatever that's called.
Oh, yeah. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. But, talk about the shiny family jewel. Ooh.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be glowing in
yeah,
the dark.
Too shiny. Yeah, it'd be.
Oh my goodness!
It's not the mortality rate; it's something else. But
morbidity.
Fertility.
Rate, I think.
Fertility.
Is it morbidity.
Morbidity.
Fertility.
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 There we go.
Fragility.
Yeah. So cars that were tested in that. This weird spike in population drop. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Well, Granddad was glowing because of the pistons being radiated, and Grandma was glowing because they put radioactive dust in her cosmetics.
In the makeup, yes. Yeah,
well,
in the cold cream. It was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know, but
and,
she shines at night.
And all those cool glowy... All those cool glowy things they had when we were kids, too. Those clocks that glow in the dark at night.
Those radium, yeah. The radium dials.
Mmm, yummy.
Seriously? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, you haven't heard about that.
Why they glow in the dark like that. Yeah.
There's a wonderful documentary called The Radium Girls, because women who were... There were very few opportunities back then when radium was the it thing. And they would paint the dials. And they would basically wet the brushes on their tongue.
Oh.
And long
on their
story
tongues?
Oh.
Yeah. To get the
that's
brush
not going
to
end well. This is not going to end well at all.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It was just convenient.
Yeah.
It was convenient. Plus the fact these factories were on the cheap.
Mm.
Well,
that's
I'm surprised
crazy.
They didn't make them use their own hair. Hair to you just clip
I'm
your
surprised
hair
we made it.
Brush.
Surprised we made it to 2023 intact as a viable not genre not,
species.
Not,
species.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Thanks. Yeah.
Not to interrupt.
I'm forgetting.
But to interrupt, we don't want to forget tomorrow. At 6:30 at CBS Radio Mystery Theater, another unforgettable tale called Ghost Talk. I'll be here. Dave will be here. CW might be here. Gar, he might be in and out, because right after our show at 8 p.m., it's what?
It's Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul on Twitch. Blah, blah.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh,
Twitch.
Twitch. In Bedrock. Twitch.
Bedrock Twitch, yeah.
Bedrock.
Hey, that gives us enough time to say goodnight.
The castle lights are growing
dim. Good night, everyone in cyberspace.
There's no one left.
Thanks for listening.
And him.
Woohoo!
When next we meet in Frankenstein.
Hey, yeah, I'm here. Usually not here, but I am here.
Don't come alone.
And us, and we.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
I dig it all the time.
Wow,
man. Wait, let me get my shovel. Let me get my shovel.
Man,
that's cool. Slammed it right on my thumb. Ow.
Yeah, get out the witch hazel. My mother always did. When something like it happened, got out the witch hazel out of the fridge. Freeze that thumb.
Better than that maturachrome stuff.
What actually was witch hazel? Was that like a alcohol rub or something?
Something like that, but if you refrigerate it, it just makes the body part numb.
Oh.
And believe me, I've had enough numb body parts to know.
They must have rubbed a lot on my head. They must have rubbed a lot of that on my head.
On that skull there of yours, huh?
That's right, you know it.
Yeah, witch hazel is wonderful for if you wake up in the morning with puffy eyes because you haven't had enough water or you ate too much salt. So it's cold. So that's one. Another reason to keep it in the fridge, put a little witch hazel. It's a great toner. And
or consume too many adult beverages. That could probably help there, too. That'll dry you out.
Wouldn't know about that. I would not know about that.
You're a good person.
Yes, I am.
It's
you're coming with us.
Leaf, bark, and twig. It's a plant. Crazy.
Witch hazel is a plant.
But also from Warner Brothers, it's a cartoon character.
Voiced by June Foray. June, the lovely and delightful.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
June Foray. Boy, that was a nice show. That was a good show when we had our tribute to June Foray.
It was.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
Yeah, go back in the archives and listen to that. It was, boy, that was, geez, how long ago was that now? Wow.
Was that on a Saturday?
It's hard to believe we've been doing this as long as we have, but yeah.
It's been forever.
Yeah.
That's the theme of the show.
100th birthday bash. So that was in 2017, September
2017. Yeah.
It would have been
2017. Wow.
It would have been a Saturday show, Gar.
Yeah, it was a Saturday show.
Yeah.
And we it was mostly talking, maybe some clips, but we did one suspense. The Man Who Stole the Bible, and she was all the different female voices in that particular episode.
Yep.
There were like four different voices. They were all hers.
And she was them.
Yep.
And we had a lot of chit-chat about her, too, and shared a lot of memories of characters we recall as kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm of the opinion she was every much as talented as Mel Blanc.
Well,
yes.
Dave, you remember that quote, don't you?
From Mel Blanc, yeah.
Some said that she was the female Mel Blanc, but Mel Blanc said, sometimes I think I'm the male June Foray.
Oh, well said. Well said.
Yeah.
I think it was him that replied that. If not, somebody said
it. I think it was. I think it was him, yeah.
It would be like him. He was a class act.
He was, and he was such another... all his talent, he was such a humble guy.
Yep.
It's good to be humble. I have often said.
I'll try it sometime.
Never use your influence to influence.
I think it's awful hard to be humble. You know?
When you're perfect in every way.
It's hard to be humble.
Yeah,
yeah,
when
that's
you're
right.
Perfect in every way. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Can't wait to look in the mirror because
I mean,
keep getting better each day, you know?
Each day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys like that? Never use your influence to influence. I thought that was. I enjoy that one.
Yeah. There's a thousand celebrities that ought to hear that one.
There are a lot of politicians that need to use that one.
That's true.
Politics would be dead if they subscribe to that tone of thinking or whatever.
And all
well,
the more
actually,
reason.
We should all do a mass mailing, regular mail, email, texting, every other kind of communication, carrier pigeon, to D.C. to say
paper
exactly
airplane.
What, paper airplane, there you go. Yep, telegraph. Yep. .. Cigar, in your 5,629,287 jobs that you've had, did anyone ever teach you how to Morse code?
I learned how to do it in Scouts, but I wasn't paid, so it's not a job, right?
No, but that's a life experience. Scouts is a gig, you know. Like you said, you don't get paid, but it's still a gig, and that's
yeah.
And there's something called semaphore that you do on ships with lights or flags, and that's another.
Yep.
And I learned a little bit. I learned like very surface on that, but yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think you were in the Navy at a time when that wasn't used quite so much.
oh my gosh! CW, I get the feeling that you're somewhat a wonderfully cerebral type person, and you might enjoy this. I ran across a book called The Chess Mysteries of Sherlock Holmes. And if you seek that out, I think you might enjoy it.
The Chess Mysteries of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes,
sounds intriguing.
By mathematician Raymond M. Smullyan. And it's reverse deduction or something. It's just, it makes my brain hurt, but I like reading about it.
As long as it's not algebra, it'll be good. Algebra is the devil, by the way.
It's
no
not.
One realize that.
It's another aspect of deductive reasoning, but in a different direction.
I thought
algebra
was the mule. Algebra was the mule on the Little Rascals, wasn't it? Come on, algebra. This is no place for you.
Oh, my God.
Don't you remember that episode?
No.
I don't think math. I didn't know math was going to be included in tonight's show. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be a quiz and everything.
Oh, my gosh. I still refuse to believe there is any use in having a mathematical equation where you have to find the answer. Instead of using plain old simple numbers, you have to have xy plus 3x minus 2x minus 0 minus 1x minus y. Why? Why? Why?
Bad news,
don't forget
kids.
Your
word problem.
Exponential rotation. Exponential exponential. Exponential notation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The raising of a power of a number. All that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, and the word problems as Dale mentioned. For example, if Cuyahoga's burning at 12 o'clock at night and Pennsylvania is on fire at 6 p.m., where is the nuclear blast going to happen in Arkansas?
I have a musical answer to that question.
Uh-oh.
Ah. Parma!
Parma.
That is the answer.
There you go. See, I was good in math.
Yeah. Oh, and did anyone partake of the poonskis that are out and about? I think it's
pardon?
Almost over.
It's not legal in
the
our state.
The poonskis?
No, I gotta watch the sweets because of my
the Polish donut thing that's filled with something.
Yes.
Fruit,
filled with
usually.
Everything now.
Fruit usually.
Fruit, but they also have cream cheese. They have Bavarian cream. They have custard. They have chocolate.
I stop it when they start to fill them with spam. I'm like, no, no, thanks. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I remember.
I don't want to mix my meats and my pastries there. No.
Cleveland, you used to have to go into that old ethnic neighborhood. It was near Fleet Avenue, where a lot of the Eastern Europeans, a lot of Polish. And for years, I couldn't find those things until once I went on a doctor's appointment way up in Ashtabula. What's it called? Not Avon, Dave. What is it called up north? Amherst.
Yeah, up in Amherst.
Amherst, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me where my cable
shows. How can you forget Amherst?
Yeah, I know.
How can you forget Amherst?
I don't know. Anyway, there was this bakery, and it was packed. People trying to get those punch keys, you know? Packed.
Yeah.
If you remember, about 5 years before we were corona COVIDized, there was a huge, huge, huge push on things called a cronut.
A cronut? What, do you stick a bird in it?
A creller and a donut?
No, a cronut is
nope.
It's a croissant donut mix, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Ah.
Exactly. There are people in New York where this bakery first initiated it, waiting for hours around the block. People would get in line first, buy as many as they were allowed, and then sell them for about $100 cronut.
Well, that was right next to the soup Nazi, you know, shop. So.
Yes. No soup for you. Go get a cronut.
Reminds me of a philosophical point made by George Carlin, comedian, and he said, if you stick two things together that have never been stuck together before, somebody will buy it. He didn't use that word, but
true.
The mother of invention, profit motive, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we're the species who purchase pet rocks.
Yes.
Pet rocks.
So, you know,
proves
someone
you can sell
probably
anything.
Got the idea. Anything. No kidding. Until someone got the idea, why don't you just go outside and get a wild rock and tame it?
Yeah, there you go. Or the fact that we buy plants, okay? Seriously?
Go out in the woods. There's plenty of plants out there.
I
have a question, though. Wait. What is, if there is a wild rock, are there such a thing as tame rocks?
Yeah, you know,
had a funny thought in my mind. I guess a pet rock would be a tame rock. A pet rock would be a tame rock, so hence wild rock.
Yeah.
Never mind, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I had to think about it.
First you have to capture it.
And then you, if you decided you got bored with your pet rock, you just throw it outside and become feral. So there you go.
Feral rock.
Reinforcement behavioral training, Maslow and B.F. Skinner. They were all about it. That's how we got our pet rocks.
I've upgraded now. I'm using a cattle prod.
You know what? This nail me. In our current 2023 sensitive society, I'm surprised that somebody, some group, some august body has not come down and said, we are offended by the name Witch Hazel. Change it.
It's early.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Give them a chance.
No, they won't. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because people who are of the witch point of view probably consider it as one of the... Yes, because they probably consider it one of the few compliments they were able to keep, that Witch Hazel is a plant that was used for medicinal purposes, cosmetic purposes. It's an all-around great thing, just as Dave said, you know, keep it in the fridge or even keep it at room temperature.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing to have. It's great for mosquito bites, too.
Yep.
The more I read about it, the more I started to blush because they use it for a lot of things.
witches were very druidic.
Yes. Well, but on the outside of the Wiccan community, you would find individuals that would, it's a demonizing word, the word witch. You know.
It has
negative connotation.
Oh. Yeah, I think you're going back
in some
to
circles,
the, what was it called? That satanic panic.
In Salem.
That thing.
That was a bunch of guys that were control happy.
An easy way to manipulate individuals, especially women, and just, oh my gosh,
People do it different ways nowadays.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep. Yeah, in different ways.
It's really bad.
Yeah. But, in regards to the semaphore, if you watch a episode of Gilligan's Island, you can see Thurston Howell III using the semaphore signals for it's martini time.
And where is Lovey Dovey? What does he call his wife?
Lovey.
I can't remember.
Lovey. That was
Lovey.
Lovey Howell.
Why not? A football coach was named Lovey. Why can't the wife of Thurston Howell III be Lovey?
That's right.
Absolutely.
I had shown an episode of Gilligan's Island on Horrible Horror the week before. I forget.
Oh, how I missed Gilligan's Island. I haven't seen an episode in so long. I'm hoping Pluto brings them around. They just started a Lucy channel. The world needed a Lucy channel.
There's a Green Acres channel on YouTube.
Nothing funnier than hearing some type of Star-Spangled Banner type music behind one of his speeches. Oh gosh, so funny!
What does Green Acres have in common with the Addams Family?
The house? No, the who built the house? The house set? The set designer? No. Or the music? No.
Music. Oh, bingo. Vic Mizzi. Vic Mizzi did
Schwartz.
Yeah, Vic Mizzi.
What isn't was there a Schwartz involved in some of that? No, maybe not.
Maybe Sherwood Schwartz.
Well, Sherwood Schwartz, yeah.
Did Gilligan's Island?
He was with Gilligan, and yeah.
He wasn't with Green Acres. Paul Henning with Green Acres. Paul Henning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did all the country shows: Petticoat Junction, Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres. Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Green Acres. Yeah.
But who did the real McCoys? That's what I want to know.
Luke.
That would be interesting.
Luke.
Oh, that would have been such. Can you imagine the crossover, the Beverly Hillbillies meet the real McCoys?
How about the real McCoys in Star Wars? Luke.
Yeah. I know, that's like Star Wars meeting Star Trek or Marvel meeting DC.
Hello.
Well, they did meet each other in the comic books. But...
Yes, a couple times.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm still binge-watching the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watched the entire series. I can't remember any of it. It's all brand new. It's weird. One of the pluses to memory loss, I guess.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah. Oh, every one of the Avengers films, I watch them. I'm like, yeah, all this is cool. I watch them again. I'm like, I've never seen this before. What is this?
Oh, speaking of which, if you want to go to foreign films, the South Korean movie, Train to Busan, which is about zombies, it's on YouTube. It's free, and it is sincerely a really, really good movie.
I've heard good things about it.
What's the name of this film, CW? What?
Train to Busan.
Train to Busan. And it's on YouTube, and it's free.
Yep.
Yes.
B-U-S-A-N?
Yep.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. All right. I'm gonna check it out. All right. Well,
really good.
Yep.
They all speak
good
Korean,
stuff.
But you get subtitles. But it doesn't matter. It's good.
Old Boy was dubbed, wasn't it? That was either Korean or some...
Korean.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have seen some really hilarious Asian films dealing with apocalypse. What did we get? Pandemic. Virus. They have some ones that are just absolutely dark but funny. Wow.
Yeah.
Dark but adorable.
But
yeah, dark, but hey, puppy love in there.
Exactly. And the two original versions of Godzilla, the one that was done in all Japanese with the exception of Raymond Burr, who was in both versions.
Yes.
He was first version is Japanese, except he's the only one speaking English. And then the one that they dubbed all the Japanese actors' voices in English.
Yep.
They're both
the best one is where they dubbed Raymond Burr's voice as Japanese. That is priceless.
Talk about a lost weekend.
Yeah, lost weekend. Really. Mm-hmm.
Crack open the sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Raymond Burr used to be. It's amazing to think Raymond Burr was such a leading man, but he was. Walking or standing or sitting.
Yes.
Either way. I love the theme song, The Ironside. Just
yes.
Just
was
great
girl.
Jazz. Wow. Yeah.
That was very, very good. That did they use a theremin in that? It sounded like they were using a theremin almost.
Oh, man. It could have been, yeah, that crazy.
I'd have to hear it again.
Yeah, no, it starts off with this unusual sound.
Yeah, because you're looking through the scope of the person who's trying
right.
to kill him, and that, yeah.
Who's going to shoot him in the hip, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot him in the hip.
But anyway,
yeah.
Gentlemen, I've forgotten what time it is, but with that being said, I must be away.
Great to talk with you, CW. Way bleh.
And that means one
nice
thing.
And segue. Oh, yes, my job of the evening. I forgot his name. I forgot. Oh, yeah, Mr. Schnozzola. We're waiting for you.
Good night. Cue the goat. Good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Wherever you are. The Martians have left the building.